chapter 1. We've been looking at verses 29 through verse 31, the results of a reprobate mind. Last week we looked at that word implacable, which means that it is a people that is settled and established in the things that are mentioned there in verses 29, 30, and 31. Then we come to the last word of verse 31, unmerciful. A people that have been given over to a reprobate mind are unmerciful. And again, implacable in this, that is, they're firmly established. The word unmerciful is a destitution of compassion. A destitution of compassion. If you think about it, there's something very strange about a merciful God and yet an unmerciful creature. We are the recipients, every human being, of the mercy of God. And it's a very strange thing to be the recipient of the mercy of God and then turn around and be unmerciful. Yet that is the characteristic of those given over to a reprobate mind. They are unmerciful. This being the recipient of God's mercy and yet not showing mercy to others is illustrated in the parable of the unmerciful servant. If we turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, book of Matthew, chapter 18, begin reading with verse 23. Again, the occasion of this parable is Peter asking the Lord how many times he should forgive someone. And Christ answers his question with this parable. Therefore is, verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Again, unmerciful is a destitution of compassion. He was moved with compassion and loosed him, freed him from his debt, forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, less than what this man owed his master. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. And he would not. Now his master was moved with compassion. And he would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion, there it is again, on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now in this parable, we see in verse 30, he would not. He absolutely refused to show compassion. He would not. He is steadfast. What he did is considered to be wicked. Verse 32, O thou wicked servant. To be unmerciful is to be wicked. To receive mercy at the hands of God and yet to be unmerciful is wicked. We see also it's unreasonable. Verse 33, shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Is that not the reasonable thing to do? Since you are the recipient, since you have been the recipient of mercy, is it not reasonable that you should show mercy on someone else? And we see also his lack of compassion was prompted anger from his Lord. Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth. So we have this unmercifulness. He would not. It's wickedness. It's unreasonable. It prompts the anger of the Lord. And yet today we have a society filled with unmerciful. We're an unmerciful society for the, I'm not saying everybody is, but overall. We are an unmerciful society, a destitution of compassion. So we need to, if unmerciful is a destitution of compassion, I believe we need to understand what compassion is. What is compassion? Well, it is a sympathetic consciousness of the distress or the pain of others. It doesn't stop there. Included in that is a compelling desire to relieve the distress or the need of another. We see here in the parable the Lord was moved with compassion. He was compelled. Compassion compelled him to do something. Compelled him to release this servant from his debt. He was moved with compassion. So it includes sympathy, empathy, but it's moved, it's compelled to do something. Compassion is a characteristic of God. Notice in Psalm 78 and verse 38, but he, the Lord, being full of compassion. And then the next word is a verb. In other words, he did something. Compassion moves you. He forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. That would be what they deserve. That's mercy. But he's full of compassion. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. And notice what goes along with this compassion. graciousness, long-suffering, patience. That's what the servant in the parable pleaded for, was for his Lord to have patience. Plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 111. Psalm 111. And verse 4. Latter part of the verse says, the Lord is gracious. And again, full of compassion. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Along with this is He's slow to anger, He's long-suffering, and He's of great mercy. So God is a God of compassion. Jesus Christ, we read of His compassion. Notice in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9, verse 36. But when He, Jesus, saw the multitudes, He was moved. Again, compassion compels you. He was moved with compassion on them. Then He gives their condition, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. But He was moved with compassion. Compassion moves you. Matthew 14 and verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed. He did something. He was compelled to do something. He healed their sick. Verse 32 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will, again, He's compelled, I will not send them away fasting. Why? Because He was moved with compassion, lest they faint in the way. And then in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them, and He did something. He touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. So from all this, we see that compassion feels and compassion acts. Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved to do something. He was moved to act. Unmerciful is a destitution of compassion. It's a destitution of seeing the need, but not only that, refusing to move, to feel anything regarding that need. It goes along with being an unfeeling people. Christ, of course, is our example. In the book of Acts, Chapter 10, if we turn over there, the book of Acts, we're looking at a lot of verses, but Acts chapter 10, we'll read verses 36 through verse 38. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. But again, he went about doing good. He was moved with compassion. That's Christ. We see it all through the Gospels. Jesus sees someone who was blind or lame or whatever, and Jesus had compassion. He was moved. And he healed the blind, even those who were ungodly. And he enabled the lame to walk, even those who were ungodly, because he had compassion. He was moved with compassion. But we live in an unmerciful society, a society that is not very compassionate. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, Philippians, chapter 2, begin reading with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and there is, there's comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, these things are in Christ, if any bowels and mercies, there it is, mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, that is, that you find in Christ. If these things be in Christ, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same as Christ, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. If you're moved to do something, do not do it. Let not your motivation be strife or vainglory, glory to self. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Which brings us back to that parable of the unmerciful servant. He was forgiven his debt. When his servant came to him with a debt, he didn't look at that servant thinking, this man is better than me. No, he thought he was better than him. That's the root of unmerciful. So we see here, let each esteem other better than themselves. If you look at someone and you think they are better than me, you don't have a problem acting on their behalf. But if you look at them as below you, well, why should I help them? There's that lack. Look, not every man on his own things. That's what the man did in the parable. He's just looking after himself. And a self-centered society is going to be an unmerciful society. A self-centered individual is going to be an unmerciful individual. But every man also on the things of others. That's necessary for compassion. Let this mind, what has just been described, be in you. So it's a mindset to have compassion involves a certain mindset, and it involves the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see compassion. Notice over in Luke chapter 10, we're not going to read the parable. Everyone here, certainly you ought to know this parable. But the Samaritan, the priest and the Levite Perhaps they had some sympathy for the individual. It's highly doubtful, but perhaps they had some sympathy. You can stretch it and say perhaps they had some empathy. But they had no compassion. They were not moved to do something to help the man who was lying on the side of the road. Nothing in them moved them to do that. But concerning the Samaritan, we read in verse 33, the last statement there, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. He was moved to do something. And then we're told what he did. Notice the verbs in verse 34. He went to him. Because he had compassion, he went to him. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast. He brought him to an inn. He took care of him. It was compassion that moved him to do these things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses this issue of compassion when he talks about our neighbor in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. We are to show kindness to our neighbor. In other words, we're to be compassionate, even if our neighbor, those who are nearby, are enemies. Even if they're enemies, we're to be moved to help them if we can. And he said in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, if you only show compassion on those you love, you're no better than the lost man. The lost man can do that. But this is to show compassion on your enemy. That takes something else. He was moved. And Christ is our example. Everything Christ did, he did for his enemies, who were, at least they were once enemies. We are to be a people of compassion in an unmerciful society. We live in an unmerciful society. And if we're not careful, we will get sucked in to an unmerciful society where we're not moved to help someone. So we're to be a people of compassion. Notice Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Verse 21, if thine enemy be hungry, give him clothes. Well, clothes aren't going to help him. That's not what he needs. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him bread. No, he needs drink. Give him drink. Compassion meets a need. Compassion is ready to relieve the need. Compassion. Notice in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. He's talking about compassion, mercy. Galatians 6, verse 10. We know Galatians 6 deals with bearing one another's burdens. But in verse 10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. Not just our friends, not just the people we know, but unto all men. And then he adds the word, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. They're your first responsibility, but you don't neglect the others. Especially, and you don't go out and show compassion on those you don't know and then show no compassion on those you do. We see there's degrees here, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, which is, of course, talking about a church. So the compassion, the mercy, is also a product of heavenly wisdom. We saw that it involves a mindset in Philippians chapter 2. It also is a product of heavenly wisdom. Notice in James chapter 3, and we'll close. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Full of mercy. So we come to Romans 1 and we see the word unmerciful. We go to James 3, verse 17, and we see the wisdom that is from above, full of mercy. Full of mercy. So what's that tell you? Well, it tells you that there aren't many walking in the wisdom from above. And good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Unmerciful. We'll look at that a little bit more next week before we move on to the next thing in verse 32. But we live in the days that are ushering in the reign of the Antichrist. And it is a privilege to live in such days, and we don't have to be sucked in by everything that's going on around us. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We do thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Help us, Lord. Help us to be more like thee. Again, Lord, we pray that you would meet with us this day, draw us closer to thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.